went to over about $1.5 million or $2 million more. We found the funds, so it ended up costing.
I'll wait for Dennis to get
the same amount. So I mean, there's examples on both sides.
I'm sorry. No, talk. Finish. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Finish.
Well, it's probably good to have the conversation as a whole.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, I think all of us need to be.
Okay. That's okay.
They got a head start on us.
What did I took a shower today. Everybody sit at the other end. Maybe we'll take these middle pieces out.
Yeah, Rachel, a good shower.
Which one?
I was going to suggest that last meeting.
That's right.
All right, we're going to call the meeting to order. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And the first resolution is to approve the minutes from last month.
I'll move it.
Everybody read them. We got them in email. Any questions?
Second.
No problems. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. No. Carried 4-0. Okay. Some resolutions. First resolution is 274, adopting proposed local law number 3 of 2014, local law amending local law 10 of 2008, requires certain resolutions approving the execution of contracts and contract amendments in excess of $50,000 entered into the county for public services to be supplemented with standard information upon filing
agendas. I'll move it.
That's why I couldn't find my agenda.
I don't think so, do I?
No, we can.
No. We have it on the front.
Right. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, though.
All right, this is, what is this one contract for?
This is the local law formerly known as the cost-benefit analysis.
It's resolution 274.
Yes.
Oh, well,
yes.
Local law number 3. Yeah.
When I first read it, I thought it was talking about a particular contract.
It's been moved and seconded, I think. Does anybody second it? Okay, Dave seconds.
Okay, any discussion on it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with some of the conversation I just had tonight with these gentlemen before in reference to contracts that we are that we put out or plans that we put out. $4.5 to $7 million. We have another one dealing with the president's sale of the president's house and the Patriots project. Which, although we have a lot of money coming in, but now we're the college is spending money to renovate the Kelder house and things like that. So, I mean, we should really try to look at these things ahead of time so we know what the real cost is. Would that have stopped me from it? Most likely not. But I would like to know. So I'm a yes.
Okay, well, we're still having discussion.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
The only thing I would say is that, I know we have a little sample piece and we've got the legend. We don't know how it's going to work, I think, until you put it in place. No. And then let's see what works, what doesn't. Are we getting the information? I do think there's something to be said about having an executive overview. So that we understand why are we doing this, what options were there, why the option was made that was made, and I think it could be helpful.
And Lynn, my thing on it is when people put things in writing, they're held accountable for. A lot of times and we've had it for many, many years since I've been here. Resolutions and the backup is always somebody explaining something, but it's not on paper. When people have to put something on paper and put it in writing,
it kind of is on paper. I think the hard thing I would say personally for me is it's a lot of paper and it's a lot of reading. And not to say that there's a lot of standard boilerplate that's involved and you kind of get the feel of it. But I think just having an overall direction and understanding of, I think, is beneficial. Both from whoever's putting the resolution in, and from a legislative body, so people are walking in understanding, the financials and the backdrop, and why we're doing something. So, I think it's a start. I don't know if that it's perfect yet, but I think you have to try it just to see what's working, what's not. So, I'm supporting it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Carried 4-0. Next resolution is proposed local law number 3. Wait, no.
That was it.
Isn't there a public hearing? Aren't we setting a public hearing?
Not yet.
Oh, that's the next one after this one. Okay, right. The next one is resolution 303, authorizing the chairman of the legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Ag and Marks for funding for the petroleum products quality testing program. Rates and measures.
This is for the public hearing? Is that what this is for?
No. No,
this is something separate. This was why is this late? Did we?
Well, 303 wasn't late.
Oh, it wasn't. This was
no there. Weights and measures is under us.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's $10,000 that they give us.
We're essentially doing the work instead of Ag Markets because weights and measures does it. All right, they're already
paid,
doing
the state pays us to do.
Yeah, $10,000.
Yeah.
$10,000.
Burial ground.
What?
There's a non sequitur.
it's a 5-year contract.
No, he's not referring to
different
this.
Thing.
He's on to something.
No, but
else.
This one is a 5-year.
Yes.
Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Okay. Any
we have a lot
emotion
of
in the second?
In Ulster County.
Donaldson. Seconded by.
I'll second.
Legislator Archer. Any discussion? Favor.
Aye.
Opposed. Carried 4-0. Okay, resolution 309, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2014, respecting the outdoor restraint of companion animals to be held Tuesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. Okay, do we have a motion? Discussion? Anything?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it for discussion. It's my belief and been my belief all month that this should go through the law enforcement committee. It wasn't sent through the law enforcement committee. Essentially, the only committee that would go to for any policy reason would be this committee. I think that it's been my belief for a long time that a law should go through a committee of original jurisdiction for the policy portions of it and then come here for the legal portions of it, because that's what we do. We're not involved in the law enforcement portions of it as a policy point of view. So I think that we, as the Laws and Rules Committee, should send it to the next month's meeting of law enforcement to be discussed. There's a lot of changes that I have here I'm considering. No.
On your phone?
No.
Oh, I think you're looking them up.
No. It's I had them on a different sheet of paper. I didn't have them here, so we can talk about them if you want. But
can I, Legislator Donaldson?
I'm a little scared when I hear that he has a lot of changes. But having said that, why didn't this go?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Why didn't this go to the Criminal Justice Committee in the first place?
There's a bit of a misunderstanding on that. Originally, having seen some other things that were going through almost all committees, I had asked which committees is this required to go through? And I heard it's required to go through Ways and Means and Laws and Rules. I said, well, let's just do that. I had previously heard that there was an issue with it not going through law enforcement at the last law enforcement meeting, and at that point I sought to immediately resolve until in multiple conversations with T.J. Briggs, he assured me that if this committee tonight would agree to allow it to go to public hearing, that prior to tomorrow night's meeting, that he would work things out with the law enforcement committee and have things in shape for it to move forward. Now, you know, this is the same issue in a way we repeatedly have come up. We have a law, it's not going to be enacted at tomorrow night's meeting. It's calling for a public hearing, and if there's substantive changes that are required after that, then it needs to be delayed a month. As of this point, prairie dogs are being abused all the time. It's those summer months. And it seems that if there's an opportunity to just move something ahead potentially faster, that it should be on that that basis alone. The other thing is I've been, you know, hopeful, Legislator Ronk, that you would have sent changes to me prior so we could have worked them in and everything could have been in final form as I'd requested before. And I'd also like to point out that the law as sits before you has been reviewed by the animal protection groups, including Brian Shapiro, who've had input into crafting it in its current form. There are some things maybe that are questioned as to reasons, and they have some unique reasons. There was one thing that was considered that the dog people in particular had some issue with was the full, was the 12-hour tethering limit in 24 hours. They wanted it to be less. But the 12 hours was put in there ultimately to accommodate those people who work so the dogs could be left outside.
When's
so.
The no, next no. time the Rainbow Justice Committee meets?
First week in September.
So it could actually keep this September 23rd date. And just if we refer this over to the Criminal Justice Committee, they meet when?
You couldn't because it wouldn't. We need to, as the legislature, we need to pass a. We need to pass a resolution setting a public hearing. So we'd need to set the public hearing tomorrow night on the local law before that went through law enforcement.
You're right. I wasn't thinking it was.
So if you, if in fact you approved it, conditioned on the law enforcement committee approving it prior to tomorrow night, then the ball's in TJ's court. If he can't do it, he can't do it.
Can I?
Oh yeah, you.
I've always believed that rushed laws are the laws that, you know, could potentially be bad laws that, you know, before
75 coming up.
That's a resolution there, Dave. Anyway.
Rush.
And another couple of concerns that I have, and I was going to keep it to myself, but this local law that we have in front of us now is different from the local law that was introduced and posted on the county website
originally.
So
to reflect changes received from people,
but it hasn't
expressing interest.
But it hasn't gone through any committees to be amended. That's of concern to me. Nobody has voted on any of the amendments. It was just changed, and it's completely different. And that's why. And Legislator Wisnik, I apologize that you're disappointed that I hadn't given you the changes yet. I hadn't really thought through all of them yet because I had just gotten the new version of the local law last week, I want to say. And, I mean, just to go through a couple of the issues that I have right off the bat, I mean, there's one that I would, you know, again... it was in the first one in a different place. Now it's in the new revised local law under the section on tethering requirements, section 3, subsection K. In addition to the above requirements, tethered dogs must be free of cruel conditions or inhumane tethering at any time. For the purposes of this condition, cruel conditions or inhumane tethering shall include but not be limited to the following. When you're making a law that's going to be enforced and have penalties, you can't have it be not limited to. It has to very specifically be limited to. You
is
have
still
to.
In, is that still in there?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
It's in there under. It was. It's not under the first one where tethering requirements. It shall be unlawful. But then it's under subsection K when it talks about cruel conditions or inhumane tethering, but not be limited to. Is there? I take some issue with the tethered outside for a maximum of 12 and 24, but that's a policy debate that I think needs to be had. I think there's exceptions.
These changes could be addressed right here and now.
I'm not comfortable with that. I mean, that's my one of my whole points. But anyway, you want to go first, Richard?
No, you. Did you you have anything to say? The only question I have, and I don't, I mean, whatever the committee wants to do, I'm fine with. I don't mind moving it or waiting for some amendments. I don't mind doing anything. But I remember a few years ago when Brian Shapiro was on the legislature, he, on the environmental committee, we had, and then he was working for the SPCA at the time, but we wanted, he had looked at passing something, and you might have been the chairman, Dave, to have the sheriff enforce some laws regarding the prosecution of people who hurt animals or neglected animals. And I remember Paul came to the meeting and he said, I just don't have the resources to enforce the laws. So that's just one concern of mine. And, you know, I don't know how much...
There was discussion with Paul and he didn't want any involvement because he said that although it says him in there, it has all the dog police and the local police and any other officer, and he said that's where the enforcement's...
Okay, because the sheriff's department is in there. Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm, in other words, although, you know, like I support the concept, but I have to agree with Legislator Rock, as much as I hate to, that that it probably should go through the Criminal Justice Committee, and that way they can air that out. In other words, the sheriff will be there. He reports to it every month, along with people that will really look at this in more depth than we will. So I don't like to necessarily put you off on this, but I really think that would make more sense, and I think it would be more expedited in the end, because if you do, as Legislator Wisnick wanted us to do, pass it and send it over as long as they don't have objections, or then if they end up having objections, it could hold it off for...
Till October.
Who would be the record keeper? Would it be the sheriff's office? You know, if somebody had an offense in Sordides, and then 2 years later they had an offense in Platicill, and then they had an offense in Marbletown, who...
It's enforced by town court.
So
somebody
say that
could
in
have a violation in each different town. Court, and they might never know?
It's not a criminal offense in the way it is now. There's not a... the prosecutor isn't involved.
Well, that was... You know, if I could just jump in here... That was another one of the problems, and I wrote it down on the other copy I have with it at home. There is no due process in the resolution. I think that's one thing that needs to be added to it. There's enforcement. It says the local law shall be enforced by the Ulster County Sheriff, may also be enforced by any police officer, dog control officer, et cetera, et cetera. And then it talks about the violations and the fines for the violations, but it doesn't say where the offenses are answerable to. Normally, in a resolution like this, if we're going to create a violation, but it's not creating a violation or a misdemeanor, both of which are returnable to local justice courts, sometimes we'll create an administrative hearing officer. We've used Lou Klein like 100 times in the past for as an administrative hearing officer, or the health department, or somebody who's going to be able to... The Board of Health is due process for some of the health violations and whatnot. Absent there being some sort of criminal charge, either a misdemeanor or a violation or any other charge answerable to local justice court, I don't think that automatically is a default due process.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
But I think the first person that has to review it is Mr. Conroy. I think it's a pseudo-criminal, but it is law enforcement. I think Holly really should weigh in. We have to figure out who's going to prosecute it, literally prosecute it. Normally, the assistant district attorneys do not prosecute ordinances. That would be the town attorney. So... That's one issue. I don't think it's a big issue. I think it can be cleaned up and cleared up relatively simply. But I think Mr. Conrad should have a look at it. That's number one. Number two, interestingly enough, the SPCA would probably be more than willing to do the investigation and enforcement part. They do that anyway. They have two guys that are strictly assigned to that. So the peace officer part of it, I think... What that does, though, it enables if a deputy sheriff sees something, a town police officer sees something, a state trooper sees something, it allows them as a peace officer to write an appearance ticket, essentially. I don't think there's a tremendous amount wrong with it, but I think there's some stuff that can be cleaned up. But I think the first thing that has to be done is find out from Holly if they're willing to prosecute it. If they're not, we have to then ask the town. Because there has to be somebody to go into court and be the prosecutor. Otherwise, we have to go to the state and ask them to allow the SBCA guys to do it, and that will take a long, long time to get.
And the way it's now written, would that fall under the prosecutor's responsibility?
Somebody's got to prosecute it. So there's got to be somebody in court that acts as a prosecutor. In other words, if I say...
That brings the case against the person. The police officer just writes the ticket.
Right. So in other words...
Or the dog warden, or... I mean,
et cetera,
and that usually gets done on a local... And
they can't...
A
dog warden can't prosecute. A dog warden can be a witness.
They can...
You're going to need someone to prosecute the case. And I would assume Holly's going to have to think about that. He very well may do it, but he might not. So you're going to need someone to take over the actual prosecution of it.
Okay, that's
first
fine.
I'm hearing about this.
I kind of mentioned it to you, but it's not a big deal. That's why we want to talk to Holly. And if you want me to talk to Holly, I'll gladly do that. I don't think it's technically...
Well, that would be good. You should probably talk to her before. I mean,
because if somebody comes into court and says, I plead innocent,
right,
somebody's got to be there to say, no, you did this, this, and this.
Right. And somebody has to put in the case.
Right. Otherwise,
the only other thing
would be no teeth.
The only other thing I would recommend is there are places where this type of ordinance are working very well. Canandaigua, I think, or Canastota, one of those upstate counties.
Suffolk County.
They have a very simple one. There is a list of ordinances that have worked very well throughout a lot of them in Connecticut. So I would suggest we look at those, but I will gladly go to Holly. I'm away next week. I'll gladly go to him and get his input. But I think it's very workable, and I don't think it's that far from being solid.
I don't think it's that far either. A lot of the stuff I agree with. I have certain policy issues with, you know, the portion that says that the tether shall be free of tangles. If I put my dog out in the yard and put him on a tether, and there's a rabbit runs through the yard, he's going to get himself tangled awful quick. Then, you know, the dog must be tethered in a manner that prevents entanglement around trees, poles, and other obstacles. My dog, and he's a smart dog, but he catches a smell, he'll get himself tangled around me and my wife on a 5-foot leash when we're walking him. And I have concern about making that illegal because the dog gets himself tangled up. And I think the longer the tether, the more likely the tangle, honestly. If there are multiple dogs, each dog must be tethered in a manner that prevents entanglement with one another. Well, unless you tether them on opposite sides of the yard and you've got a pretty big yard, they're going to get tangled with each other. I mean, there are just certain things that I don't know that are enforceable, and I don't know that we'd want to have be enforced.
That can kill the dogs, too, getting tangled up.
Uh-huh.
I know people who have had dogs who died because the tether wasn't long enough on a line. But...
I guess you don't tether them, then, is the answer. I think any law is like that. Any law can have unintended consequences.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I try to eliminate, you know, as a lawmaker, though, I feel it's incumbent upon us to try and limit unintended consequences as much as humanly possible.
But, I mean, you know, sometimes maybe some people shouldn't have a dog. I mean, that's, you know.
There's a lot of people that shouldn't have dogs. I wouldn't count tethering as the main reason people shouldn't have dogs.
Well, it depends on what areas you are.
I mean, they had a St. Bernard on a 6-foot chain, and when the dog barked, my house would shake. Basically, I mean, it was like when they would basically didn't take care of the dog. I mean, I have a dog. I have a beagle, but he has the run of the backyard. He goes wherever he wants. I fenced it in so he doesn't, because I don't like the idea of having a dog. I mean, to me,
me too.
A dog up is.
I spent quite a bit of money last year to fence in my yard. In order to make sure that we wouldn't tether him. But prior to that, we took him for walks because my wife and I don't believe in tethering. But just because I don't believe in it doesn't mean it's, you know, an absolute wrong.
And Ken, you can tether a dog in a way where it doesn't wrap around anything, even if it sees a rat or whatever. They sell stakes you can put in the ground that's, you know, have a swivel on it. The whole idea is there.
Well, yeah, but what if you got anything else in your yard that it could get wrapped around? I mean, you got anything in the yard? I mean, the tether has to be, you know, so long that, you know, there's actually a requirement in the local law on how long the tether has to be. So
back to debate whether you should have a dog or not. To be honest with you, I've seen, you know, these people that get these.
Fair enough, but I think it's a policy debate that needs to be had in the law enforcement committee, and that's why, you know, that's why I think it should go there. And just a question to Cappy now, since we're here on legality anyway. How would this automatically be answerable by to a justice court?
An appearance ticket. In other words, just like right now.
Doesn't it need to be a violation in order to go to justice court?
Traffic infractions.
They're considered a violation of the vehicle and traffic law.
Right. This would be a violation of county ordinance, just like any county ordinance violation. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Well, the county smoking ordinance is answerable to the health department, as is the county. The county menu law, or whatever the hell it was.
Well, is it a county ordinance that party ordinance, is that a county
misdemeanor
ordinance? This will be a violation. It can be answerable to the town court.
That
part is not hard. But
wouldn't
that's
want to write
that in. Holly. That's what Holly had. If it's not going to be enforceable, because the district attorney isn't going to enforce it, we have to rethink how we're going
to
do it.
All right, I go back to the original thing.
Can I just say, do you have a problem if we try to resolve this in the next 30 days? I don't think anybody's against the law or against moving forward with it. I mean, if it's postponed till October, does that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the law is being muddied in nuances, and I suppose any law has nuances that you can look at any which way.
Well, the enforcement is an important issue, and I listen. Some of it is maybe can there's difference of opinion, and we can respect that. But I think if we don't know who's going to enforce it, who's going to go into court if somebody does one of these violations and say, okay, I'm representing the county. If we don't know who's doing that, I think that should be settled before we have a public hearing.
Yes, that issue did not come to my attention as problematic until this very evening. And so if that in fact is an issue that needs to be resolved and addressed, then it sounds like maybe it does, certainly it's something that's worthy of being held another.
I mean, listen, we'll have a special meeting if the criminal justice passes.
I just think the easiest thing is the criminal justice committee can go over to them, and I think that's where it should go, because it's where they'll, you know, Ollie Conrad reports on that. You'll have the information for that. Paul Van Barkum reports there. He's going to be part of the enforcement aspect of it. So I think it should be there. I mean, it should go there. And, I mean, once they have it, I'm not going to, when it comes back to us, I'm certainly not going to be picking it apart, because it's been aired by that committee.
Can I ask a question?
And I think that's where it should be aired.
If that's the first week of September, the first Tuesday in September, so it's the second. If we
It'd be the second Tuesday, because the first Tuesday is technically a holiday, I guess. But
Monday's a holiday.
Right, but they think that they wiped out the whole week.
Oh.
All right. Boy, we really partied up here.
So
really?
So that doesn't help us out a whole lot.
That's what I was told.
The 8th,
all right. So that doesn't help then. I was thinking if they had it the second, we could have a special meeting the 4th or the 5th or the 3rd or something, and then we could still be on the docket for the 20th.
We couldn't, though, because we'd need to pass
the full legislature, too. All right.
I just think that I honestly think that let's say we went through with the public hearing now, and then there were a whole bunch of changes that the law enforcement committee makes. We would either need to then cancel the public hearing, because we're not going to go to the public hearing with the same law that was passed when we set the public hearing, or that would be pushed off. Then it wouldn't happen until October, whereas we could set the public hearing in September now, and then have the public hearing in October, and then pass it in November. I mean, that's, it's reasonable.
The only other option to that, to keep it on track, is to seriously work on it tomorrow, have law enforcement meet, and have the final version go into public hearing.
But law enforcement's not meeting before tomorrow night's meeting.
Well, there's no meeting scheduled.
TJ told me this afternoon that if this committee would approve it conditioned on approval by law enforcement, that he would have it resolved by tomorrow.
I think there's too many problems.
You have to call a meeting 24 hours ahead of time. right? 24 hours?
And you can't do that.
It's as practicable for a special meeting.
I'm not sure Mr. Conrad's going to be available to...
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I know you... I mean, I appreciate everything you did, and I think we all do, but there are... To me, the enforcement issue is a legitimate issue.
But, sorry, the only thing I'd add, and the reason we want to be careful, is there are going to be... If there is a violation, there very likely may be a defense. So somebody like me is going to be looking at it for any loophole.
How was it passed?
Well, I'm not going to so much look how it passed. What I'm going to be looking for
who's prosecuting it?
Let's assume there's a prosecutor. I'm going to be looking for arguments like it's void for vagueness. So something that's going to have a pseudo criminal enforcement, we just have to be really careful with, as we've discussed. I think it's got a great skeleton. I think we just have to put the other stuff on it.
And in case my animal advocacy credentials are challenged, I actually think it should go farther, and that for a fifth or further, it should be a misdemeanor.
Or you're not allowed to have a pet anymore.
A fifth?
After you shouldn't be allowed to have a pet anymore, or two.
To have a misdemeanor and jail time put on there, I think you really got to go the extra mile. Forfeiture of the dog is the third, right? Yeah.
No, technically, Dave, did you second his motion to refer it to law enforcement?
Well, we have a motion and a second to discuss.
Right. We never,
We never voted. Really, so this is a discussion under the original motion.
This is under the original motion.
But I will second it. I mean, if he puts
it. Well, let's discuss. I mean, if there's not support, I mean, there's four of us, so if two of you guys aren't going to vote for it, it's not going to pass.
I didn't say I wouldn't vote for it, but I think it should go through. I think it should go back to. It should go to criminal justice where.
May
it
I ask
started.
A question?
Should have started there to be.
Legislator Wishnick, has Legislator Briggs reviewed it and feels that it's doable and that he could run it by his committee with no problem?
Legislator Briggs shared with me today that he read it carefully and he really liked it. And that the revised version addressed all of his concerns.
Which goes back to me, how did it get changed?
If you said that to him, he might say, I never thought of that, too.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think of when I read the local law.
Mm-hmm. I think you're better off if you go there. I think it'll end up being passed quicker if we have it sent back to, because it never went there, criminal justice.
And I honestly agree too. I'd like to see it move forward because I.
Right. Oh, I agree.
I think it's a good policy, good law.
I mean, really gets under my skin the way people treat animals.
Another thing. Who's gonna?
I mean, there are laws on the books now to protect animals. This is just a little different.
Yeah. This would further delineate how you can tether a dog. Who would under this? I also couldn't figure out who would administer the community service. Would it be the probation department?
Presumably so.
I think that would need to be put in there.
No, the court.
No?
The court would order that.
All right.
That's done all the time. And it's normally administered by the court. The court would say, Mr. Ronk, you have 10 hours of community service. The court will need proof within 3 weeks. So sometimes it doesn't even go through probation.
Mr. Ronk, we're to tether you on the outside.
Right? Same face on. I hope you don't tether me outside.
Like slumlords.
That might be the punishment.
From time to time when I'm bad, my wife puts me outside.
What are we doing?
Well, did you make a motion?
No, right, I made a motion to refer, and you seconded it.
No, right now there's a motion and a second. On the resolution, so we either have to vote yes or vote no or withdraw your motions.
I don't think there was
I don't
any
think
motion
so.
On
yeah, because
you
said I'll second it for the purpose of discussion.
Yeah.
All right, so
you
I withdraw my
tape?
Withdraw my motion.
I thought
while we were discussing it, we could then make a motion to refer.
No, you can't
it
discuss it if there's
it.
No motion and second.
There you go.
Okay.
So withdraw my motion.
You withdraw your
there
second.
There you go.
And you make a motion to refer it.
That's correct.
And Dave seconded
that. I'll second the motion.
Okay.
To refer to law enforcement and to have Cappy work with Collie. And
with the understanding that Cappy is going to try to...
And Legislator Ben Barkum. I mean,
Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Sheriff. Sorry.
any of those questions are answered even before they get there, so we can expedite this.
Okay, so we have a motion. Let's look at the legislator, Archer. All right.
Okay.
Any discussion on the resolution to motion?
To refer
to criminal justice. And have Cappy.
Everything I said already.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 4-0. Okay. You know, we'll have this back next month. We'll be all right. I don't see any problems with it.
You need to expedite it, though. It's
important. It'll be dealt with in committee.
The
sponsors may or may not agree to changes, and then if there's more change, we'll make them on the floor. That's
otherwise.
You know what? Can I ask?
They're going to send it back, and then it's going to get caught, and they're going to say, "Well, there's slips and changes." You know what?
The public hearing is according to this resolution is scheduled for September 23rd. Could we? When it goes through criminal justice, if it passes, could it be scheduled to go October's caucus night after
yes.
the public hearing?
Yeah,
that way we could vote on it in October's meeting, which would be the same time frame as voting for the public
true.
Hearing. It would be passed in
October. The caucus is usually before your...
Well, we could have a special meeting if need be on caucus night or
something. Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I would be fine too to expedite it.
If you have the public hearing the same night as the legislature, you could still approve it.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. That's a little.
You know what?
We
can do that. They used to do that all the time, and we didn't really always agree on it because it's like everybody knows how they're voting coming out of caucus. And
obviously, it doesn't matter what people say in the public hearing.
But if we have the public hearing the week before.
I like that, and I'd be willing to come in early
to discuss it.
And if something else comes up last minute, we could do a quick before session,
absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
A quick meeting before session if something comes up.
Yeah,
totally.
And then that way, it's still going to get, according to the schedule in this resolution, it's going to meet the same schedule.
Yeah. Yep.
We could just meet caucus night. Our body can meet caucus night.
Well, right. We can meet before the
court. We can meet for 2 minutes.
All right, that's legal, right?
All right.
Can our committee meet caucus night or the night before?
They can meet.
We can meet after the public hearing.
I don't think they can hold us on September caucus night, though.
Why?
Because the legislature can't.
No, this would be the October caucus night.
Okay, so you'd hold the public hearing on October.
Right.
On the October caucus night and then vote on the October meeting the week next
week. A week later.
Yeah, this would be in October we're talking about.
Yeah, this is right.
Right,
because we would vote, so we would have the special meeting
in
October.
So that we don't have another month that, you know, it's delayed.
But no, it's not going to be delayed.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Is that all right, Legislator Wishnick? I mean, and this way we'll iron out the 3 or 4 questions. And Legislator Ronk, will you give any recommendations you have, or you know?
I will. I've talked about most of them tonight. I was waiting to speak with Mr. Shapiro, and he was volunteering at a shelter the other day. Actually a people shelter, not an animal shelter. But was unable to talk to me, but asked if we could talk early this week. So
okay.
I sort of wanted to find out the what's that.
What are you talking about now?
I was just explaining myself on changes, that's all.
Oh, well, let's get to the next resolution.
Okay.
Dave's in a hurry, let's go.
Okay.
Not in a hurry,
The next three resolutions are late resolutions, that's why they're in front of us. Resolution number 310, amending resolution 268 of July 15th, 2014, just last month, by removing 9 parcels from the scheduled public auction and authorizing the transfer of the town of Wallersing.
I'll second it. I agree that it meets the criterion for lateness.
Yes.
Okay. These are the buyout properties, right? Okay. Any questions?
Nope.
Concerns? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 4-0. Okay. Now we're going to go to Resolution 311, authorizing chairman of the county legislature to enter a lease extension and renewal with GD Realty for the family court building.
Why is this late?
There's a letter from Bert. No, Jim McTeague.
The memo's attached?
It is. This resolution is being offered this time because negotiations between the county and the landlord's attorney lasted until August 6th, at which time an agreement in principle was reached. Landlord's attorney forwarded a draft lease extension agreement, which needed to be reviewed by county attorney's office. The resolution should be acted on by during the August legislative session because the current lease expires August 31st, 2014. Has this been moved and seconded?
No.
All right, we should move and second it before we talk.
I'll move it.
Let's see, Archer moved it. I'll second it. Okay. I mean, I have no problem with it. We've had this lease going on for many, many years. And even if we didn't approve it, it still carries over.
Is that triple?
Yeah, it's triple net. I do not. I will be voting against this for lateness tonight. Not because I disagree with passing it, but because I don't think it meets the criterion for lateness under our rules changes that were passed last year. Because there is a holdover clause in the contract, it wouldn't change. You know, the only thing is if the landlord changed his mind on a very beneficial to him triple net lease in the next month, then it would, you know, it would not, you know, we would have to renegotiate it. I don't think that he's going to...
Do we know what we're paying today on that lease? Does anybody know what it's going?
Do you know what days that is?
200 and...
Well, I know what it's going to be next year. What is it this year? What is it this past year?
The same annual cost of $201,600.
Okay.
That's it's
so it's just an extension.
I think it's a
I'm
1 year extension, isn't it?
I mean, I understand
your concerns.
Yeah, I have a copy
of the lease here, but I would take a while to find it.
I think
we're not going. We need the place. So, any problems, Dave?
Well, I mean, he does have a point. I mean, there's certainly I don't think the owner's going to be walking away from it because he's not going to be getting anything else for it.
8 days a week, I'm telling you.
Yeah, right.
Triple net.
I'm sure he'll take that, like you said, 8 days a week. But it does end on August 31st.
Okay.
So I guess you can argue that it does fit lateness because of...
we can get a three-day notice on...
But having said that, though, I mean, wouldn't you have been negotiating this beforehand? I mean, wouldn't it be, you know it's coming up.
This is also, if I could just...
But negotiating. So, I mean, we've got a letter saying, I mean, are we questioning the letter saying we don't believe it? I mean,
it's,
I believe
no,
that they finished the negotiation.
That's not what I'm questioning. I went through
it's not what I'm questioning either.
When I served as chairman, we went through the lease. We knew what the hell it was at a time, and it didn't really change. And
Right.
I think it was just somebody dropped the ball a little bit here, but I don't care. It's no big deal.
For me, it's not even about that. Even if the contract negotiations went beyond August, went beyond August 6th, and that's why it had to be late. Yeah, we have a holdover clause. Without a holdover clause, I'd be voting for it for lateness because there'd be harm to the county. But I don't see harm to the county. I can't foresee harm to the county if we hold off for a month and do it properly. And if we make an exception here if I made an exception here where I didn't believe that it, conformed to the requirements for lateness, then where would that end? That's, slippery slope.
Okay.
All
right. All in favor?
Aye.
I'll be an aye, yes. I'll agree with it.
Opposed? Carried. 3-1. Sorry, Legislator Rock. It was a nice meeting until that vote.
No worries. Hey, I got no
listen,
hard feelings.
I understand what you're saying. Public Works, for years, I don't think we ever had late leases like this. But
honestly, my biggest problem is that laws and rules has been late resolutions have been abused by laws and rules. Abused. And that's why we changed it to make stricter requirements.
Former Legislator Tantillo will tell us. And member...
Former Legislator Tantillo, that's a hell of a title.
Well, no, but I mean, she was a former, member nights of caucuses or meetings we would sometimes have them for months. Dave will remember. So it was, there was just no committee like this for him to go through, but it would be 2/3 of the legislature or something would have to suspend the rules and then they would, and there were important ones like this and everybody was...
I know, well, it's all my fault. I'm the one that put the laws and rules.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
When they created it.
Final resolution. Number 312, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered in by the county suburban restoration incorporated public.
Oh, oops.
Do we have a motion?
Thank you,
you're welcome.
Now, what's your take on this related resolution?
Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Do we have a second? I'll second it.
This one concerns me specifically because our attorney went downstairs earlier to ask for a copy of the agreement and wasn't able to receive one until we got to the meeting here. And that proves to be a concern to me because it's his job to make sure that we're not making any mistakes or leaving anything on the table when it comes to leaving ourselves open to, you know, liability. What say the, you know, the firm comes in and there's a lot more asbestos or lead paint or any other thing. You know, we were talking about it earlier in the office with counsel that, you know, we might be on the hook for quite a bit more money than the $300,000 that we're paying. And it very well might not be the case, but it's unknown until our attorney was able to review the contract. So, and the backup documentation. So it's a concern to me, and I just, you know, have you had a chance to? I know, I see it.
And we, you know, we were asked to bring it tonight. I didn't realize there was a request to have it earlier.
He went down, and the county attorney's office told them that we could not have that they did not have it and weren't able to get it, and that you would bring it tonight.
I'm sorry about that. If you had called, we went right over.
You have to understand.
I know what your
our constraints are from the county executive that we can't call you guys.
I get that.
So I went down.
We're reminded of that.
Which is frustrating. And I want, if I could just make this clear real quick, this isn't a shot against you or Dennis or anybody in your department. You guys do a fantastic job. You're always answerable to the legislature with questions and whatnot. It's more of a referendum on the, you know, game of telephone that has to be played between the upstairs and downstairs and side stairs and all over the building before we can get an answer to something that we're going to bond $300,000 of county tax dollars without knowing what we're getting into. I think that's a horrible way to do business. And
in this instance, I think a couple things, if I may.
Please.
One is that that's not the contract. That's actually the bid document.
And you had the contract.
You know.
Well, okay. Let me talk about that. Let me read you what this says.
Yeah.
This says, the contractor shall fully execute the work described in the contract documents.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's not in here.
But that's the scope of the, you know, the aid.
That's this. Yeah,
I understand that. This is what,
and that's a public document.
And it comes with that. So you know, we had everything. Yeah. Bring.
That's
my job is to review this. This is what I had.
No, I'm just...
So I don't know what you're saying. But yeah. that being said, this refers to the contractor to fully execute the work described in the contract documents. Not only I didn't have them, none of the legislators had them. It refers to the stipulated sum is based on the following alternates. It's not described. So we eventually... I got this. I went down and I asked, and they said they couldn't give it to me. One of the assistant county attorneys was there. He couldn't get it to me. He did not have it. He said it's in a binder. He has to get it from you guys. So you were kind enough to bring it today. I've begun to review it. It looks fine. But there are still some questions that I think I have to advise the legislators of that I'm not sure I can do right this moment.
Why we came tonight on behalf of Department of Public Works is now taking over Stripe.
Yeah, no, it's going to end up getting really screwy now because...
Well, not really, because we're still involved on making sure, like, you know, like we have MWBE requirements.
Yep.
And so I'm going to keep going with that. We have interfacing with the college. We have interfacing with the Office of Capital Facilities and ESD on these grants. We'll continue to carry those, but it was... needed that buildings and grounds start doing this, because when change orders come in, then the people who know this stuff the best are able to answer it. I want to just explain why this was late.
If it's done right, there won't be change orders.
Well, and Rich,
I know, I'm not busting chops.
We have a contingency built in as well.
No, they're always
right. So, Kathy, you're exactly right. It's,
but in a perfect project,
if there were 10 times as much asbestos, we come back with issues here. But we've done enough testing at this point, and we have enough of an assurity level that our construction manager, who's very, you know, we have a lot of faith in this guy. He's done a lot of projects in the Valley. He knows what the costs are and who's out there. And he's come back and he said, you know, with a 5% contingency, you should be good on this. I mean, there's not that much hidden stuff there. And what this does on the other end is it saves us up to 3% or more on construction. Well, because when our bidders go in for the general contract and the plumbing and other things, everything's going to be open for them to see. And there's less of an X, you know, well, I don't know what I'm getting into here.
So is the 5% contingency the only upside potential?
It's included in the $300,000.
It's already included. So
correct.
$300,000,
but they're not
is
guaranteeing.
Worst case scenario.
I never say worst
no.
case.
No. No. No, absolutely not.
No, that means they only have $15,000 built in for overruns.
I understand.
Overruns.
That's right. Why I'm getting clarification.
Right. There's only $15,000 built in.
We've forward. Had that discussion back and forth with our construction manager about that contingency, and he's comfortable with it. So we've been back and forth on that. And there's, and I think Chris is, it's important for Chris. Chris is, one of the things that he said is really important is there has been an extensive amount of testing with respect to the building. So we know where the hazardous material is and we know what the removal rates are.
But you don't know if there's mold, right? Or you do?
There's been real no issue. I mean, the one area where you would have had a mold concern is where we're abating the asbestos tile. There was a moisture problem on the bottom floor. It caused the tiles to buckle. So we're remedying that already. And not only are they taking out the asbestos-containing materials, but they're putting in a moisture mitigation system so it doesn't change that.
Yeah. Right.
We've been through the building enough that, and we've tested enough that if there was a, look, there might be some incidental things like where you probably would have extras is you open up a ceiling and you see more asbestos on a pipe. But we've got a reasonable rate from this firm for additional things. We're not in the business of wanting to accept change orders. And as evidenced by the resistance we gave our architect every time he wanted change orders. You know, so we're pushing this to stay on budget, Kathy.
No, I know you are, but we.
And you know, we may make this up on the back end by having less of a construction.
It works the other way too,
budget.
Because to the extent that there isn't the removal that's in the estimates,
right?
They come off, and okay. The way the bid is written is that some bidders tried to give us a cost for the work and a cost minus. For the work that wasn't done. The bid is written so that if it's $12 a square foot to take it out, it's $12 a square foot if you don't have to take it out. So that's the way that the requirements, the specifications are written.
Well, it seems like, I mean, I would prefer to see, you know, the original plan was going to be $4.5 million, it's now at $7 million. But the other point is it was originally going to be in there January of this year. We're not getting in there until August of next year. So I hope that this is the end of those types of changes. I mean, if we can move forward, I'll support this, but you know, I certainly hope this is the end of the changes.
The other thing is the remedy here, because I just want to warn you that we're coming back. This is fast track to get us to a point where we actually gain about 45 to 60 days in construction costs while we're going out to bid on the construction side of this.
Right, this is a key time.
It is.
I understand that.
I'm just thinking about the difficulty that Cappy had in terms of getting these documents. These documents are released to the bidders. That document was released to the bidders when we bid it. We certainly could provide the legislature a bid book. You know,
which probably should happen when you go out to bid, just because eventually it comes here anyway. Yeah. And if we've got contracts similar to this, it would be helpful to have that information ahead of time.
I mean, because they have sample contracts. The bid book has sample contracts. They have a general conditions work in it. Has a scope of work in it.
Mm-hmm.
We would anticipate that, you know, that we'll be out to construction bids by, I would say, September.
And we didn't even realize it would be. Look, part of it is how many big capital projects have we done in a while? And, you know, again, I wouldn't have even known, Kathy, that if you would have needed that bid book, or I would have gotten it to you. I would have given it to you with, you know, right up front.
I got it within hours of asking for it, so yeah. I have no problem with that.
And, you know, I think the thing to keep in mind is things have changed on the project, and we've learned a lot. We've added things. I mean, when we originally were going to do this project, we weren't going to buy the building, and we bought the building. And that will save us long-term because we're not going to be leasing it forever, yep. Right? And I think that was a good move. The green infrastructure stuff that we've added is $440,000 of state money that's going to make this site better for the neighborhood. And so those... In a way, I hate that we're behind schedule, but I know one of the reasons we're really behind schedule is the green infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I said this to Legislator Ronk, dealing with that state agency has been interesting.
That's a nicer way than Chris put it.
Very diplomatic.
Just a question that you may not know.
But we had to do additional testing. We had to come back with a new feasibility study.
Will there be any complications? Because you very well may be in construction at the same time as they're in construction at the high school.
Well, that's why it's so imperative that we get it off the ground now, because they're starting as we'll be finishing. And that's the other thing that's been nipping at our heels, to be done with this in July or August of next year.
And we know that we had some conversations with the district about where they're starting and how their phasing works with respect to us, and we don't anticipate that the lay down areas or our areas are going to conflict. We're actually looking at how we're going to set trailers up to make sure that we don't have this kind of work. And to the extent that we do, one of the reasons we'd like to do this and come back to you, I hate to say this, but we'd like to be back to you again for a late resolution in October for the construction work, is we really want to begin the site work this late fall so that the site work gets a lot of that gets done prior to us getting in the building.
And we'll get
bid at $7 million though.
Happy, we can get you a copy of that when it goes out. I mean, we'll just have purchasing making.
I mean,
what if
it comes
out
at $9 million? Legislator Rock, he says.
Thank you. I want to reiterate that none of my frustration here has to do with you guys. I understand in planning. You guys have a job to do, and you guys have marching orders from somebody higher up on what you can and can't tell us, and at what point you can and can't tell us, and where we have to direct our questions through, and the game of telephone that ensues. And I may be mistaken, but I've spoken to three separate members of our legislative staff today who told us that they had asked either one of you a question. I think that one of you twice and the other one once, and they were directed to... Yes. I didn't want to point it out, but... and you were directed to the executive's office, and at one point in those calls, the staff member was... directed to a member of the executive's office, who then said, "Oh, I've got to call Chris White and get the answer to that question."
Can I just answer?
Yes.
That? Look, I would just say this. Sometimes we're under very clear direction about
I understand.
The flow of information.
I understand.
I can appreciate why, because there have been circumstances where a member of the legislature has reached out to an individual department. They've got an answer, but the answer wasn't in that department. It was in that department plus a couple other departments.
It's the holisticness of the
answer. So we've been reminded that sometimes I don't have all the information about everything, and sometimes I don't know what's being done at Department of Environment, Department of Public Works, Department
of... I appreciate that. No, I want to say so.
And I'm not saying that it's the best way to operate, but that's what we're...
I understand, and that's why I wanted to say ahead of time. I mean, that's why I wanted to say ahead of time. I totally understand, but when we have something like this, where we're getting the information the day we're going to vote on it, the day before we're going to vote on it on the legislature, maybe that's a time to declare some martial law
But I think you should understand. I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
The question that got asked was not a question for my understanding. The question that I got asked was not a question about, can I get a copy of the contract?
Right.
question we got asked had to do with how, where are all the numbers from and how do they arrive at them, and where did the project go? And that question was being directed to us from Legislator Gerentine, as I understand. So I
it
never
was,
had
it was answered within an hour.
Yeah,
but that question was not the, yeah. That's not your wasn't the specific question.
We
that
never had a direct request for a contract book, because if we had that direct request, I don't think we would have.
Like Kathy, did you go?
Public information.
Did you go to the sixth floor or the fifth floor?
Fifth floor.
See, I mean, and that's part of the thing. Like the fifth floor may not even know where those were. They didn't know we had a copy of that.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly why. Ken is our deputy. Ken usually has a pretty good load on who's got what, and if he doesn't know, he's a call away from it. Like, and he will call me and he'll go, "What do you have?" And
I'm going to go to B first.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I get that.
And 99% of the time, that's where the contracts lie.
Right. Yeah.
But we could certainly, with respect to this project moving forward, particularly as we go to the construction work, make sure that once those bid documents are out, because they have all of the scope of work in them, and they have the conditions and the sample contracts, that you get a copy of.
Well, and if I may, I think this is a real opportunity also around a better communication process. And it's not that people are intentionally not giving information. It's about a rush. Particular. This is a huge project. It has shifted and changed a couple of times. A number of different resolutions have come across, and I think that we'd all benefit from a more holistic view of what is this project looking like today.
Right.
And I don't think any of us have said that, but I know I would, just to get my arms around it. I mean, I know we're getting a lot of grants. We're bonding now for cash flow and all of that. I get that. But I think to really understand the broad scope, I mean, to your point earlier, you've learned in this process as well.
Yes.
Because it has moved, and by adding the green infrastructure, it has a different take. And I just think we would all benefit from having a better understanding, even if it is at ways and means, where it's so that somehow we have a better view of the project.
Maybe a special informational session.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
I just want to highlight that one of the things Dennis and I try to do to compensate for what is not the best communication system necessarily is to be at all of these. I mean, this has now gone through six of seven committees.
Yes.
If we go to public safety, I run all seven, and I think I've matched some award
for
perseverance. We've passed five committees. At every one of those committees, we stood up and we said, you're going to have a hazardous materials number. We don't know what it is. Although I did, I did convey what I thought the number was to a key leadership person, not to be named, because I won't call that person out, but somebody had a number, a range at least. And I do try to give that information. And when we come to committee, we're pretty...
Me?
Yeah, was
it? Oh, I thought so.
No, you missed your cue.
That's okay.
and we try to be open about stuff. Like, if you asked us any question on Strive, we really do try to answer it. So I'm sorry for the poor communication and for you.
It's not your fault. It's not your
fault. But that is my fault, because I didn't know to give that to him.
I think there's opportunity.
But I think with the abatement, that's not what I'm worried about. We're going to come back to you with some numbers in a month or two. That's where you're going to know whether or not this is going to be in trouble.
I mean, I'm going to support this tonight, because I support the project and I want it to move forward. But I just, again, I have a concern about the communication, and I don't know what you'd call it. I called it martial law, when there's a rush resolution, when there's a resolution that we're rushing through for a specific reason, that maybe some of the communication barriers should be torn down a little bit. And that's a conversation I'm going to have with the county executive, because it's not up to you guys to determine that.
Maybe there's something in between we can find. I don't like telling you, Fawn, to call upstairs. I don't. It's like
you have got a job to do. It's like I said in the very beginning.
And I've been given examples where one department gave the wrong answer, and then then we get in trouble. Anytime we put out information,
I've never seen that.
Can I just say something? And nothing against you guys at all. Same thing that everybody's saying. My issue is like Legislator Rock is saying, this wall. I mean, you can't talk to... I had an issue two weeks ago up in Margaretville and Phoenicia and Chocan and all this stuff, and called Dave Shealy, called Dave Bowles, They don't want to talk to you. You got to call Bob Sudlow. Call Bob Sudlow. I'll call you back at the end of the day. 5 days later, never called me back. Brought it up at our committee meeting, environmental. Tracy brought, got involved. Tracy called Bob Sudlow. Finally, working, trying to get everything resolved. Tracy said to Bob, would you do me a favor? You haven't called Rich back. Please call Rich and tell him the resolution. Still to this day, I haven't heard from Bob Sudlow. It's been about 9 days since I called him. So I'm not supporting a resolution unless we put something in there that we can ask anybody we want for questions. And if they don't have it, you call other department heads and give us the information. Because it's a $7 million of taxpayer money, and I'm not doing it unless I can call somebody and ask a question. I'm not calling people that don't call me back.
But if you call Ken Crennel, you... I mean,
but I was told I had to call Bob Sudlow.
Ken is very good at getting back.
But I mean, Ken is 9 days. Our department.
And I appreciate that. But here's 9 days.
Like, ask Rich Gerentine sent a question this morning through legislative staff. He had an answer literally within an hour or two. That gets done. I mean, and the thing is, I find Ken is our person, right? Mm-hmm. We deal mostly with him. You can still, any Strive question can go to Ken.
But
any.
This problem now, if it's going to buildings and grounds, now we got to deal with Bob.
But I'm just saying, Rich, do you want to...
On this issue?
Do you want to vote against...
The, if it's going to be... If the construction plan is taken over him,
I hear what you're saying.
Then but I don't want to deal with him. If I want to call somebody, I'm going to call them and I want an answer. And to me, and I like Bob a lot, but it's insulting. The fact that I'm told by the department head and the deputy they can't talk to me, I have to call Bob,
but that
and he doesn't call me back.
Understand that wasn't on Strive.
And Tracy asked him to call me back, and he hasn't called me back.
But so was it on
that
Strive?
That was on a separate issue.
No, it's the communication. It all starts at the top. The top person's accountable for all of it. And I'm not, Mike may not even know about this.
That.
But at the end of the day, the marching orders come from him, and... If I'm not getting the questions answered or the results, I'm not going to spend taxpayer money.
We've been working diligently on Strive, and I got to tell you that, you know, I've appeared at more. The county executive has given me more latitude to appear at these committee meetings than almost any member of staff has had.
That's true.
You know, and he's made me much more accessible. If you called me, I would say, please put the call into Ken, and in 10 minutes, I'd be back to you because Ken would go. All right, I think this is all you called back.
As a policy, though...
We have reporters calling us. Like, when James calls me, I say, James, just call Kenny. He's got the letter or whatever he needs. You know, and we really do get back to you. I've never not returned.
No, I know,
call.
I know.
Is that, but it, and you're awesome, Chris, and I love working
Dennis.
With you. But
it's really
it's honestly, it's the both of you, because I like working with both of you. You're both very responsive. But the comment that you made, Mike has made you more accessible than almost anybody, you know, else,
well,
any other member of staff.
I've kind of bent rules.
But is that a good narrative on the communication between departments in the legislature or a bad one? But
we're not going to resolve that for this particular issue.
I understand.
I think we've raised the concern. I think we've raised the issue. I think that, if I may, Cappy, I mean, most of the concerns that you had with regards to CAP, et cetera, you know, were addressed and answered.
We got rid of the bones of the sorry.
But so what I'm saying is, and I hear you, you know, if this were a different department bringing this forward that did not respond, I get it. But I think holding this up is not a way to build communication.
Sometimes it is. I agree, I understand what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying.
If this was to be held up, it just costs us money, it's cutting our noses.
I'm not so sure it's the best project in the world either anymore. What I've been hearing, listen.
We own the building, you're literally... If it wasn't a good project, you should have decided that over a year ago. I mean, we've got repeated resolutions, and we're...
Well, and the money keeps going up.
Yeah, but
we're still within the budget
as of last November. I mean, yeah.
We're only bonding when we expend the money. We're not bonding the whole amount and just paying it out.
Not within the original project. The original project called...
The original press release. If you read the original press release that went out, we're not even in the ballpark.
We pointed out that there were changes that were made, and they were made, and fine. And, you know, we've supported those changes. And, you know, so... You know, and then, you know, we've got the understanding there's a learning process going on. We're paying for that learning process. So, I mean, I understand, and I understand everybody's frustration about communication, but that's been the same frustration, you know, from the very beginning. You know, when we changed the form of governments. And I certainly understand, and if I was the county executive, I probably would have issued the same damn thing. I mean, you got to have some control over the information, because information will come out that is...
Or the multiple requests to the department.
Right, and
it can
be a problem. Yeah. But there's got to be, in other words, the best way to deal with that is a little lightening up, but I can certainly understand. I mean, it makes, you know, as I... Chris White
There's
pointed
no
out.
Can we call the question?
As he pointed out, in other words, somebody could give you the wrong information because they don't have all the information. So,
excuse me?
But having said that, somebody should be getting back. So I don't really want to see this held up, even though I have concerns, you know, with the project a little bit. I'm starting to get a little concerned over it because I think a lot of things weren't looked at the very beginning. But that's having said that, I'd hate to see the project being held up, and it will be held up if we don't pass this. It could cause, you know, it could cause 30 days in or more, actually, in construction time, when the most important part of the construction time is coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to move this, and I will...
It's already motion. It's already moved.
Yeah. Well, then let's vote on it.
Just one more. Can we get an overview of the project from you guys, just saying, here's where we originally were, here are the elements, ins and outs, here's what the green... Just a one-pager that just highlights how we got from 4.5 to 7. All I'm asking for is an overview, and that's our opportunity to move forward from here and look at opportunities of improving communication.
They're supposed to say they went through legislative programs to college last year.
And the college trustees have approved the budget working on.
You're actually, if you look at the history of your own resolutions, what you'll find is that gives you a really good sense of where the overview is. I mean, one of the questions that we got was the sources of funding, and your own resolution from November of resolution. A look at the budget in terms of what the total budget was at that time, and we've since added the green infrastructure and the sources and uses of those fundings that were available that we had essentially commitments for at that particular point in time. But I think. I do want to say that this is really not about control of information. This is about making sure you get the right information. It really isn't about controlling information. And we've been, I think, very transparent with regard to the project in terms of where we are, how we got from point A to point B in terms of the change in budgets, where we are and what we're doing, and particularly with respect to our discussions with the individual committees. And I just said tonight, we will be back to you if everything goes right. We'll be back to you with another late resolution, given where we are in this process and in our bidding process, probably in October, so that we can begin discussions and we can begin construction in November.
But they shouldn't all be late, though. That's the frustrating part. They shouldn't have to be late resolutions.
But understand, they're not late because we want them to be late. If we didn't believe us, we don't want them to be late.
Maybe the project just needs to be delayed 30 days so that everybody can...
If everyone can delay it 30 days, then we're going to miss the fall semester in 2015.
Right.
Do you think we're going to make the fall semester in 2015?
Yes.
We can make that now.
So. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, we're actually looking at alternatives in terms of the building construction schedule so that we can make it. There's a very diligent work to make sure that we're working from that. I think it's August 23rd date for start of that. And the college has advertisement and other stuff that they have to do prior to that. So we're acutely conscious of the schedule and the time involved. And as I said before, this is certainly a public document. Once it's released as a bid document, we can get to that as soon as it's released.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And we can get you the one.
Can we vote on this issue before the horse gets back up?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. 3-1 it carried. Not about you guys.
Sorry, Reg.
But what I would like to do is, now that the resolution is finished, is I think we need to have a legislative committee. And I don't know if we passed that law working with the Buildings and Grounds Department. Remember when we did the jail, there was a time schedule where every contractor had, you know, the steel was up. And when that one was done, then you knew who was next. And you could follow it. It was a little bit tricky, and they had time frames. So that way we'll know, you know, if the site work is supposed to be done by December.
Right after the horse was out of the barn.
Well, they hid that from, right, well, we found out afterwards. But so we can work from
that. Just to try to control what was going on.
But we can talk about that another time.
I also think, and I said this in environment,
and I'll
say it again, I think that, you know, one of the recommendations from the jail committee was that the legislature establish a project oversight committee, and I think that that's something that we should consider.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that was our jail committee with Tracy and I.
I brought it up in environment with Rich and Tracy both there, and I think that's something that we should that we should do soon. That way, there's, you know, some, you know, it involves the legislature in the process as well.
We're spending more than we already are. I mean, we should be on it. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
I just want a quick new business. I've got a little new
Rich,
business.
Do you need us?
No, you guys are great. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
New business?
New business. I just have something quick. I know everybody wants to get going. Great. I got to sign up. Thanks. I would like to have us, and Ken, I think I mentioned this to you when we spoke the other night. I would like to have us come up with some kind of a policy for naming county properties,
yes,
bridges, rail trails. I think everybody's aware of what happened with the Hurley.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not opposed to naming things, but I think after seeing what happened with the Hurley issue, is the best people to make recommendations to come to the county are people from the communities where the roads and bridges are. You know, they know the planning board members, the Little League coaches, the volunteer firemen and women, and the emergency service people that are deserving of it. So I'd like to come up with some sort of policy where maybe a recommendation for a name has to come from the town board, has to come from the city. You know, if it's in the city of Kingston, who knows better than the
alderman? Well, the only thing is that, you know, in some cases you might want it to come from the county, but I think
the county will always approve it. It has to be approved by the county. But
a legislator could go to the town board and say, I think we should do this. And
but what I'm saying is sometimes there's, you know, somebody that is, on county thing that you might want to do it without necessarily their input.
But I think there
should be some type of policy, though. I agree with that.
If the legislators...
Can we get a copy of some different ones, Fawn? Maybe you could try it.
You know, my thought on it is in the communities, like take Lynn and I for example, we're in the Rondell Valley. Who are we going to go? We're not going to go to Marlboro or High Lloyd and say, well, let's name a county bridge after this person. We don't know who the people that have invested a lot in that community have been, but we certainly know the people in our communities that have done a lot of volunteer at work, a lot of good things in the community. And I think when the recommendation came down from Mike for the Hurley Bridge, it created a real firestorm because, one, the person didn't live in a community. Two, he's done great things and he's a famous guy. But the community clearly wanted somebody that lived in a community and invested in a community. And you know what? Some of the recommendations that have come up, I guarantee you 80% of the legislators have never heard of that person, or probably the executive, because they're not, from that area. So to me, it just, you know, if we're going to start naming things, which really hasn't happened other than when Mike has now started naming things, I think town board, the municipalities where they're located should have some sort of a say, in my opinion.
Right.
They shouldn't be, and it's even us, we shouldn't be in a position of saying, it's really not a good choice. Why are we voting against somebody? Why do I have to go now? I'm so sorry.
Well,
was early. Yours,
Hurley's my district. You know what?
Pardon.
Well, the part where the
Hurley Bridges, yeah,
is my district. I literally got 150 emails and and probably 15 or 18 phone calls, and people are, and you know what? That's why the decision was reversed upstairs, because they all called him and they all emailed him. And I don't have it with me, but the one email Mike sent, which I thought was pretty insulting to all of us, was, my only concern is that the bridge is safe and done on time and on budget. The naming of it is ultimately going to be up to the legislature. After he sent a press release out naming the bridge, he turned, but you know what? The guy that sent it to me knew. He's like, you know, what, you become stupid? I knew it, you know, it was all on him. So I just think, you know, I'll draft something, get it out to you guys in the next week or two.
Well, I really think, you know, you're talking about with the whatever the towns are, I think the other aspect of it should be is the it's got to be, I think it should, well, part of it should be presented by the legislator that represents the particular area. I mean, that should be included in there in some way or form, because they're the ones that everybody's going to be calling when the thing is made. They're going to be calling that county legislator. You're going to be calling, in this case, for the Hurley Bridge, they're going to be calling you, as you got. You got,
and there's already like three or four different names being thrown out there.
Right.
And to me, it's
and
not...
I think the consensus was Hurley Bridge.
Hurley Bridge, there's the Gill Bridge, there's the Paul Gill, you know, the Paul family's been farming for four generations. They taught the Gills family how to farm. And then you got the Gills and all worthy people. But to me, the decision should come from the people that live in the community via the town board or the legislative rep or whatever, you know, whatever. I don't care. I'm just saying, I think it should be.
They're the ones that are going to take the beat.
They're the ones that know the people, you know, somebody maybe that was killed at a you know, untimely death or something that they feel that we may not know or they may not know, you know. So anyway, that's new business.
And the problem with it when you're naming things, it's very difficult to say no.
Right, or we could have a policy, you know, we're not naming bridges or roads, yeah, or, you know, that's another policy, and I'm open to that too.
Or something like that, you know.
I think the inclusion of the town in the decision is a critical component.
Right.
So it shouldn't be made in a vacuum.
Right,
it should
maybe
be made with the people in the community. At least the town board, which
we should make
represents
advisory
committees.
The
community.
It requires a resolution passed by the town board.
Right. And the executive can go to town and say, let's pass, you know, this is who I am interested in, this person. And it just to me, it just saves us
down board.
Embarrassment
is in that town.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I'm gonna we'll write something up and just change it if you don't like it. I mean, I've spoken to a few people, they all seem to be like it's not a bad idea. I mean, we never named anything really, except the Carmen Liberta Bridge, right? That was one. Other than that, I don't think we ever named
Danny Alfonso Way.
Well, when Danny passed. But that was 12 years ago.
Karen Binder Library.
And right, but I mean, there's just, we haven't named much. In the last 2 years, there's been more named than there have been in the last 20 years.
Michael P. Hine, throw it on.
All righty, let's go.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
In favor? Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Florin.
Okay.